Welcome to the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight, the podcast where we uncover the secrets of CEOs, entrepreneurs, and visionaries who've used public speaking to skyrocket their businesses and their bottom line. Get ready for captivating stories, valuable insights, and practical wisdom from the trailblazers who've mastered the art of the stage. I'm your host, Kelly O'Hara, and I'm thrilled to bring their experiences and expertise directly to you. Let's get started. Welcome back, speakers, authors, entrepreneurs. You're tuning in to another exciting, enticing episode of the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight, where we unleash the secrets of those at the top of their game of public speaking. I'm your host, Kelly O'Hara, and I'm so excited to bring you the exquisitely charming Mary Gardner. Today, we're diving headfirst into the realm of charisma, connection, and cash with none other than the powerhouse herself, Mary Gardner. With a track record that reads like a bestseller, Mary's journey from agent to industry titan is a story of grit, grace, and guts. From rubbing shoulders with CEOs and corporate kingpins, TV personalities, politicians, physicians, lawyers, and more, Mary's expertise is undeniable. Listen closely as we unravel the journey of this nationally recognized speaker and public speaking coach who's reshaping the game with her trailblazing strategies. From her roots at Kepler Speakers to founding the Coaches Certification Institute, Mary's carved a path that's not just about speaking, it's about commanding stages and changing lives. All right, it's time to welcome the woman who's rewriting the playbook on public speaking success. She's not just a speaker, she's a force of nature, a catalyst for transformation, and she's a woman whose presence always commands attention in any room that she walks into. Please give it up for Mary Gardner. Welcome, Mary!
Kelly, standing ovation for you. Oh my gosh, that was awesome. You are amazing. That was so fun. Thank you for having me. That was just really cute and fun. And I know we're going to tear it up today. We're going to have a great time and hopefully teach some people some good stuff.
So I expect no less. And I'm telling you, your intro is exactly how I know you. I've seen her take the stage. She stops the room. I've seen her run a meeting with all high-powered gentlemen, and they are pretty soon just eating out of her hand because she's captivating, she's charismatic, and she cares. That's the key.
You're so right. I do care. And everybody, when they're learning from each other, we all want to learn from good people. And I learn so much from coaching and meeting the people that I meet. They're amazing. So I feel so grateful to be in this space. It is so fun. And I'm so happy that I have associates like you who are out there that I can brainstorm with and partner up with. And I think we're doing the best job in the world. I love it.
It is. It's such great fun. So let's go back. I always like to find out the what, why, and how. Did you know from early on that your voice was going to be your destiny?
No, I still don't know that. Let's see, my voice. I'll tell you what it was. When I was in seventh grade, I was in my drama class and a gal popped in the drama class and said, "Hello, Mrs. Long." And everybody turned around and looked at this girl. And Mrs. Long, when she left, said, "There are just some people that walk in a room and everybody looks. And Tracy is one of those kind of people." And I was like, "Oh, I want to be one of those kind of people." So I think I started on this journey from being introverted and quiet and just having fun to really studying popularity and influence. So I started popularity young. By the time I got to college, I knew all the celebrities like Charles Barkley and all the major football players and what have you, and then went and worked on Capitol Hill. And I thought that's where I was going to have my big, brilliant strike of joy or success, but didn't love that. But ultimately, then my next job was working as a celebrity lecture agent. And from there, I just was hooked. And so it took a while to find my place, but have enjoyed my career very much.
It's interesting to hear where you started. I love that. I can see that because that was true for me as well. My mother was that person. She would walk through a room and I would see heads turn. And okay, she was an attractive woman, she was, but she had that She had presence. She had charisma. And there was a lot of work that was done in Vegas that we would be in Las Vegas and I would watch her walk through the room and then I would turn around and watch all the people watching her. And I remember thinking, that's pretty wild. And that's my mother. But it took a while to grow into those shoes too, because if you're basically, you are more introverted and you're quiet. Oh, I'd like that, but it's wow, that's it. So you've hit it for sure, no doubt about it.
Yeah, I remember seeing like Paul Laxalt, who was Reagan's best friend, and just the poise that he had. And so I studied, I was just so fascinated with people that had that exuberance and the magnetic quality about them and didn't have to try. And then as I started studying, it really did come from expertise and wisdom and experience where you gain that confidence. And so then I got such resistance to people that oversold and tried so hard that they were obnoxious. And I still see some of those people. I'm this, I'm that, I'm this, I'm that. And it's, you know what? You don't even know who you're sitting with. And I would see that in Washington, D.C. You'd be on the subway and there'd be I remember this one time, there are all these college students talking about, oh, all of the Supreme Court justices. And oh, we got to see them. And I was wanting to say to them, would you shut up? You're probably sitting here with every single one of them on the train right now. So you never know who people are when you go anywhere. I just think it's really important for all of us, as now there's so much video available to all of us, that we conduct ourselves in a way that's really supportive of other people and not so much me.
Oh, this is so refreshing to hear. I often listen to speakers and some of the top perceived amazing people, but the minute they come out with when they start it off, their talk off with, I've helped hundreds of thousands of people and I have made millions of dollars and I've already left the room. I'm like, I just gave you 10 minutes and so far I'm not too excited about it. Not too excited. That's really your lead in, huh?
Yeah, it's a
Really
hard
in.
lesson. Yeah, it's a hard lesson to learn when you've been asked to share your wisdom a lot because people grow accustomed to that. But being able to switch it over to what do the audience need? And that's what I think a good speaker does and a good media personality does is what are the needs of the audience? What are the needs of the demographic you're serving? And how can I best meet those needs in a way that's creative and different? How can I do it differently? So you're going to hear it differently. And whether that's through storytelling, which I'm sure we'll get into a little bit, but using my story and other stories to be able to relay a strong message of hope and inspiration is hopefully what they'll do.
Love that. So tell me, talk to me about being a initially when you were at Kepler Speakers and you were an agent. A lot of people I think would like to know more about that experience of speakers bureaus then and where it fits in now in today's market. And what are the gifts in that and what are the pitfalls?
Yeah. The gifts. I just fell into the job. I felt like I wanted to be a TV anchor. And then I interned my senior year in a TV here in Orlando at the NBC station. And I had two or three of the anchors and reporters like, don't go into this business. Oh my gosh, you're going to hate it. And I wanted to have a family eventually. And they worked until midnight, about every night. And I was like, I don't want that. So I had to find something different. So then I looked either for a travel job or a sales job and ended up with the job at Kepler. And I was one of their first early agents. And so they were 2 years old when I joined the company. And how I got hired, which is really good for an agent's these qualities, I was so desperate for a job. I called every day or every 2 days. Hi, this is Mary Gardner. Hi. I'm just calling about that job. Okay, you're not ready. Okay. Hi again. It's Mary Gardner, just checking in again. And they were like, would you either get rid of her or hire her? And so they ended up hiring me. And that's how I was as a salesperson. And that's really what it takes to be a salesperson, a true salesperson, which is it's about relationship building and it's the hustle and it's the ability to emotionally connect quickly and then to be able to focus in on their needs and satisfying their needs. The good things about it, I learned how to sell and I learned it all on the phone. We go to conferences one or two times a year and meet with people face to face. But what I found was that I really did care for people. And instead of just selling, let me sell you speakers. let me sell you speakers. I was talking to students all over the country. And I was like, oh, tell me about your dating life. Tell me about you. Oh my gosh, what are you going to major in? That's so cool. Oh, you should do this. So I really got invested in them as people. And to this day, I still have friends. This has been years ago, but still have some good friends that were clients of mine and still work with some, or so know some of the speakers that I represented. And so it's been a long career. I just loved it. I loved it because it's about change. It's about what's dynamic in culture right now. It's setting trends. It's being able to cast a vision into what can be in colleges and universities and corporate. And I think I developed the ability to see what's ahead. Like, how do you solve the issues of tomorrow? And so that's a good skill that you learn as an agent.
You're such a thinking agent, because a lot of people say you've got to stay to a certain niche and really develop that out in the college market. I know you were super strong in that, but also you're on the other end of the spectrum. A lot of your clients are superstar athletes and high-end celebrities. And then you also have a clientele in the medical industry with CEOs of hospitals. You really, how is it that you attribute your success in being able to cross industries? What do you think differentiates you besides the fact that you do?
Yeah. When I worked on Capitol Hill, I saw that the politicians were fascinated by Hollywood and by athletes. The athletes are fascinated by politicians and Hollywood. The Hollywood people are fascinated by politicians and executives. And so you're always going to bring in these cross people because they're all interested in each other. In one of my last workshops that we had, a two-time Super Bowl champion. And it was amazing. The doctors were just so fascinated by him, but he's like a business guy now. So he was fascinated by their success. So I think just having the knack of bringing like-minded people together in different backgrounds really makes magic happen in workshops and in a career. It keeps things very dynamic.
How fun is that? And then you've got this cross-pollination of these people, which makes for a very interesting dinner party.
Oh my gosh. It's so, the cocktail party was fabulous. Yeah, exactly. Oh yeah. And I'll tell you, when you get people like that together, you think, oh, egos are going to fly. It's so not true. The people are so genuine and really are there to learn and also to share. And so I really mostly enjoy high achievers because they don't complain a lot. They work hard. They know how to get things done. They know that when they need mentoring, they go get it. They want to get a high achiever to help them as well. They're very generous with their knowledge and their wisdom. And so what I find very difficult is trying to motivate people who suck you dry of energy, who are like, no, I don't know. I don't know if I deserve it. I don't know if I'm that good. And I'm pretty much over that kind of participant. I'm like, you know what? There's somebody else that would be better for you, because we only have so much energy and so much time. And it's better to spark somebody's interest when they're already going in that direction rather than getting them to go in some direction. So I've gotten a little bit more used to working with really high achievers.
So that is on the coach's side. You love coaching. I know you love coaching. I've had the opportunity to watch you in that role, and you're just on fire about it. So you don't miss being really at the speaker's agent. This is much better suited for you, isn't it?
It is. And I did it a lot as an agent. And so that's why I was for a very long time the top agent in the college market. And so I had a lot of success there. There were times when there were snowstorms and my client, the speaker, was stuck in Baltimore and needed to get to Kansas City. And I would go to the ends of the earth to make it happen. Why? Because I trusted the speaker so much because I had the relationship. And I knew that my client had 1,000 people waiting at the other end. And so it would almost be like my will would make it happen. And I do believe that your intention and your energy and effort making something or moving towards a goal it's so powerful, and you have to have it in a career, especially today. And so I love doing that. Yes, the coaching for me has always been really key. And For me, I have a lot of faith and I do believe that we get divine inspiration. And I find myself like, where did that come from? Oh my God, that's like a really good idea. And so that, I'm sure that happens to you too. When you're in your purpose, it's like things just flow. And to me, I just love that. And I love speaking. I'm still speaking. I just did a gig the other last week. And so I'm doing some virtual stuff. But I'm also, let's face it, I like hanging in my house and going out and riding my horse in the afternoon, not having to travel so much. So that's good.
I'm with you. I agree with that 100%. I am a lover and a committed person to Zoom because it has changed all of our game. It's increased the opportunities for everybody. But I personally, yes, I better than travel. I like being home as well. And there's plenty to do on this small stage all over the world now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I know your stuff that you're doing is so helpful to so many people. And I'm excited that we get to tap into your genius. And for me, it's really fun to have somebody else that is like-minded in that way and working in support with, we're supporting each other. Our people are very collaborative. So I love that our careers, our two careers fit together. It's
That's
awesome.
Very true. When we came upon each other, it was instantaneous and you realized, oh, this is just the beginning. This is a conversation that is just the beginning to a tremendous relationship. And now we're getting to work together, which I love. And you know what I notice about you? It's interesting. Being perfectly candid, I've watched you with certain high-end celebrity types. They're used to being in front of the camera and they're very comfortable and at ease with this. So many of them are, that are at least on the speaking circuit. But then you have very high profile clients that are not necessarily so comfortable in the stage, on the stage, especially if it's not like within their own industry, their own home. So let's say you had a CEO of a hospital or the head of a medical group. They're used to talking to their own group. But if you put them out there on a higher end stage or a more involved stage, a national stage, it's a whole different experience for them. And you have found a gift for teaching charisma and how to be captivating. I've watched it happen. It's so exquisite to watch you teach them and then to see them speak afterwards. Mm-hmm. And you go, where'd that come from? And do you think it's the story? Do you think is it you helping them create the story or just becoming confident? I'd love to know some of the insights that you have, the strategies that you use. I know not the ones that are proprietary, but what is it? Give us a hint on what makes someone who otherwise might be a little bit too introverted or limited in the kind of audiences they're used to and make them come alive. How do you do it, Mary?
I love that question. And I don't know if it's a secret sauce or proprietary, but I always believe that everybody has multiple personality traits. We have different roles in life. We're a sister, we're a brother, we're a daughter, we're a wife, we're a husband, whatever it is. And so I start by taking all the clients, if they're introverted or if they're left brain, very intelligent, even if they're on the autism spectrum or whatever, engineers or people that are incredibly intelligent are being valued and paid for their brains. So they stay a lot of times in that data-driven type of role, and their personalities become very stable based on knowledge. And sometimes you see men talking to each other, and like tech guys are like, oh, they share information. Nobody's asking each other questions. It's just sharing information. But one of the things that I love to do is to get people out of their traditional way of being and traditional way of thinking. And I take them back to when they were a child. And we do visualization. Remember back, who were you? Tell me a time when you were hanging out with your cousins, your parents were having their cocktail party and having dinner. And what were you doing with your cousins? I get them into a playful place. And so I take them out of their role in today's world and put them back in time. Then what I do is also cast a vision for who they want to be. So let's say they're an astronaut now, and they're used to being dominating and telling how to do things and whatever. And now learning that the competency or where they're going, which is a professional speaker, answers to the audience, they answer to the meeting planner, they answer to the agent. So no longer are they in charge. They're now an employee. And so the change of competency and the change of mindset is great. And so allowing them to understand you're no longer the boss, you are now an employee, and you're now working to please an audience. It's a different set of competencies. So understanding and teaching them and taking them through that emotional journey on their own, where they experience it as a kid, and now they're experiencing it as an adult, as an employee or whatever, and seeing themselves in different places allows them to be a little bit more malleable. And then we do the physical change. We actually do the body language on stage. And yes, the storytelling is so incredibly important. And I think it does take a right brain person who's able to articulate and like riff. I call it riffing. It's like riffing on like a music, but riffing on their stories. And so I'm able to quickly create a scenario. If they were having a conversation with their mom, I'll say, okay, you say this instead. I walked in the room and my dog was over in the corner and she was itching. She still has fleas. Who knows why? And you just start riffing. And so I tape everything and then we come up with some fun stuff. And so it's multi-process, but it's so fun and so creative. And it takes this person who's been traditionally in a certain way, it blossoms their personality, it blossoms their public performance, and it helps them see a new future where they're using their voice to inspire audiences.
It seems to me that you are able to interject fun into this process. Can you imagine? That sounds fun to me. That sounds almost, I would give that a try. That sounds like an enjoyable self journey. Because you find a lot of people that say, I don't have a story. There's nothing tragic that's happened to me that sets me apart from anybody else. I had some challenges, but by comparison to this guy who lost his legs or this person that was sold into slavery for 20 years, I seem boring. And they say, I don't want to lie about it. I don't want to come out with anything that doesn't resonate as true. But how do I become more interesting? What do you say to them?
Mm-hmm. I see people like that I'm not coaching. And I'll tell you what I want to do first is I do want to take them to go get a makeover. I want to help them understand that being average is not great when you're on stage. And so being above average and being somebody that people want to watch is good. And so that's really one of the first things. I had an athlete that had never gone shopping before, wore shorts and t-shirts his whole life. He was a gold medalist, Olympian. And so I took him shopping and got him some really cool clothes, some black slats and a white nice shirt and nice shoes and some really cool hip glasses. And he felt like a million bucks. And it's like that personality starts to transform when you start to feel like, oh my gosh, I'm something here. So I think that's one of the very first things. And then there's actually studies done that when you change your body and change your body movements, you actually change your brain and you change your confidence. So I teach them that. I get them into doing different body moves. So introverts who need more energy, we move the body, we exercise, we're up and down. So I'm like, we got to get it louder, have some more energy and speak from the diaphragm. And then I put them on the opposite side of the room and I make them yell at me. And sometimes they're like, hi. I'm like, louder. Hi, I'll use any means necessary. And hopefully by the end of the day, I've made them laugh. I've made them yell. I've made them cry. I've made them think. I've made them have fun and that it's life transforming. And so that's my goal, is to get them from here to there. And so sometimes I do it in one day. I have a VIP day where I help people get out of their shell and become this new vivacious person. And then it becomes habit because they practice. They see themselves on video and watching themselves excel at a different level than they had before. And then they go out and they actually practice. They come back, they report in what works well, what doesn't. And we keep tweaking until they're getting standing ovations.
Oh, I love this strategy. I love that there are so many different elements to this to get people out of their skin. I actually witnessed this at an event where it was a bit of a coaching event. And I watched a gentleman who was probably in his 60s and he was hunched over. As my mother would have said, he looks like a human question mark. He was all closed over, drab clothes. And a couple of the women grabbed him and took him out shopping. than that night. And when he walked in the next day, he was wearing this light blue suit, and he was just studly, and the grin on his face, it was as if a whole new person had walked into the room the next day, and he took the stage. You couldn't even hear him the first day. You could not hear anything he said, and he got up there, and now he had a story to tell. He was so excited about this. So it's amazing if you can get people to walk around outside their skin for just a little while for them to see themselves differently. So cool.
It's so powerful. I love it. It is fun. So for executives who are used to being the very stiff on stage, getting them to have that more ebullient kind of fun personality, it's a little bit of a challenge. Boy, it makes such a difference when they're speaking to their companies or their industry and what have you. And it grows their careers. They get job opportunities. They get consulting ideas. Recruiters want to talk to them. One episode or one ability for them to see themselves with this other new acquired influential personality can change their life for sure.
I love that. I was next going to ask you something else. And just, of course, I love that when it just goes right out of my head. It was right along those lines. I'm sure it'll come back to me. That's the way it goes. I wanted to ask you about your perception, since you've been around for a while to really see the public speaking industry change. I'd love to see how you see the landscape of public speaking evolving in the next few years. Obviously, COVID changed the game 1,000%. But how do you, if you have a speaking career, how do you recommend that people adapt? Does your business adapt to these changes, and in what way, and what do you see?
Yeah, you're so right. The industry has changed so much. Before the internet was so powerful like it is now, the speakers were mostly New York Times bestselling authors. They were celebrities. And I remember it's going back to 2010 or something. I became a columnist in the Orlando Business Journal, and I started writing on social media. I was the first one to do it. And people were like, that's a trend. Nobody's going to pay attention. And I remember at that time thinking, oh no, there are going to be people that are going to rise up and use YouTube. I knew it. I just didn't have the ability to do it at that point in my life. I was into being a mommy and little child and everything. But I saw the writing on the wall of how YouTube was going to take over one day. And indeed it did. And then I told some of the people in the industry, you watch these social media stars are going to be sharing the stage one day with the big celebrities that are out there now. And then ultimately, as we saw, they took over and they're making more money. There are still celebrities that are well known in the media, but the influential people that are selling on the back end are making a lot more money. So it used to be books, now it's coaching programs, weekend retreats, it's all sorts of things that people are selling and making a ton of money. So I've seen the industry change. Then, of course, like you just mentioned, COVID, which made everybody go online. And there were people that didn't change their fee at all, which I have some stories about some of those people. So I think what's happening now going in the future, of course, video is everything. And I'm seeing video companies pop up right and left. So I believe that corporations are going to have to be more open and authentic. People are going to want to see the C-suite people that are, what are you like? What are you about? Now we have the ability to read body language very quickly. They can be analyzed in seconds, really, about if they are telling the truth. We also have artificial intelligence images that are going to be able to replace us if there's somebody who doesn't have the time, they don't like getting on video, they don't want to do it. All of our image can be borrowed, it can be typed in and now recreated in front of a live audience, just about. But that live audience is online or on screen. The thing that's not changing is the person in person. And so what I believe is that where there may be holographics in the future or a fake AI persona on a video talking to us, the in-person individual is losing the ability to have connection. And so, as we see a lot of the younger people have their faces in the phones, not spending much time one-on-one talking to people, I think that's going to be a very valued skill. Already, communication is one of the top things that executives need and entrepreneurs need, but I think it's going to become more and more prominent. And then I think collaborations between companies are going to be really important, like what we're doing and creating something new. If you look at what what the Apple guy and Bill Gates, they took an existing idea and they built onto it to create something new. So I think that's how creative geniuses are going to be made in the future, by collaboration and then the ability to use technology. And I think speed right now is really hot. People are talking all about speed. But if we look a few years down the road, if we project into the future where AI is taking over, and AI, as we talked about before we got on today, that AI is potentially going to be used for bad. It can be used for great and for good, but take one bad apple who takes a drone and goes over a city and shoots everybody. They're going to turn down the internet. They're going to turn it off. And we're going to be back to living like in pioneer days, growing our own food and who knows what. And so I think a smart individual would be looking one eye on the ground. Where do I live? Am I sustainable? And what value can I bring to people? I think then it's going to be on a local committee, local, get your people together, motivate people, get them to start working together. So I think motivational, inspirational tone is still going to be super important, but it's going to be more locally driven. That's my guess. It's not a sure thing, but if I'm looking down the road at looking all of these pieces that are coming together quickly, I have to say that's going to happen somewhere.
It's such an interesting conversation to have, because there's so much opportunity out there right now to do things faster and easier. I explore AI, I use some AI, and I'm seeing the newest tools that are just hitting the market. And every 2 days, there's new things coming out. Some of it really quite exciting. I love working with entrepreneurs. I coach entrepreneurs and I absolutely love it. I just love that group of people. And I think for them, this is a gift. You can produce things so much faster now, and you can do it yourself and do it professionally. Yeah. However, and I'm good for that. I'm good for that. We all don't have enough time. Entrepreneurs, I know, don't have enough time. Been one for a long time. But at the same time, what you say is absolutely true, that too much of a good thing turns into a bad thing, and or a questionable thing, or something we need to keep an eye on. And so that's another horizon. That's another adventure, is to take a look at what's out there and see if, are we really up for this? Because the more AI is used to communicate, the more we as human beings are gonna start to tune out, because we know, and it's not the same as this experience of you and I getting to speak with each other and all the nuances that are between us, even on Zoom. I don't wanna give that up.
Right. Yeah, no, that's right. And experiences, being able to provide experiences for people that are memorable, lasting, edutainment, where they're being entertained and they're learning. I think in the future, we're going to be able to learn from anybody. If we want Oprah to be teaching us chemistry, there you go. Boom. Got it done. So we are going to have a lot of choices. And so those roles for people that are liking to spend time behind the scenes. And the other thing that I think is going to be important is that those of us who don't want to spend millions of hours behind the computer doing AI, partner up with younger people. So we become more of a team, and we're working together in tandem to create. And that's like a bigger company, but I even think as an entrepreneur, that's going to be like our first person that we pick up, is that creative AI master.
Oh, yes. I'm looking for him now. I mean, it's fun to learn. It's fun to see it. And it's fun to see the possibilities, but it's a whole new level of learning. And do we have the time to do this? Most of us don't. We need to find the people that know how to do this and partner with them. Because that's their turn on. It's not ours. Now, let me ask you, what do you think the common misconceptions are right now for those people? You are a speaker coach, a business coach, but you teach people how to present themselves in a way that will win, but you're motivational as well. What do you think the common misconceptions are that people have about entering the motivational speaking industry? And how do you address that with your clients and your students?
Yeah, most of them, like you said earlier, don't believe they really have a story. And so we have a system that allows them to see yesterday's lunch as a story. And so I'm helping them understand that they basically, in a nutshell, they're looking at what does the audience need, what are their problems, and how can they solve them. A simple solution has come up with three words. What are the three words that you would say that would be an answer to the problem, that the dilemma that's in front of you? What are three words that come to mind? And then going back in your life and seeing when you learned what the when they had a meaning. And so looking in your own life to find a couple of stories. And then if you don't have as many on your own, go do research and go look into history. I always think looking into famous entrepreneurs or into politics or into just stories in People magazine, my gosh, there's such a plethora of great stories in People magazine, from animals that got caught away and the whole town starts helping these cows get away. And there's just so many fun things that you can add to your speeches. And I just listened to a phenomenal speech that's old. It was in 2015 from Lou Holtz. And Lou Holtz came up with about three or four ideas of how to live a good life. And what he did was he would tailor, he would, it was tailored to the audience and to, it was a commencement speech, but he had multiple different little funnies. And he would tell on his wife and tell on himself. And it was so entertaining to listen to him. So I think that humor is a really good component to add into speeches when you don't know what you're going to say.
Oh, I think so too. And it really makes the room comfortable.
Oh,
Most of the
yeah.
time, it really makes people comfortable. So, if you could go back with all the experience and the accomplishments that you've had, if you could go back and tell your 20-year-old self, if you could give yourself one piece of advice, what would you say?
One of the things that I see with HR people, PR people, marketing people, is that we rely on other people to bring us pizzazz, joy, and experience. We use our creativity for other people. And I think that the best advice that I could give to somebody younger who's starting is go out and live, go and experience, go and do things, learn how to skate, learn how to sew, add skills to your repertoire. And I know that Jordan Peterson has talked about this a little bit, that when he got sick, and ultimately, people go through trying times in their life, whether it's a divorce or they have a car accident. I've gone through both. You have times when work is not going to fascinate you as much, and you need to be able to have X different hobbies and things like that. And so not even a hobby of just, oh, I like to go to the beach, but maybe you add water polo, or you go kayaking, or you do paddleboarding, or like you and I both like horses and add to horses, learn how to play an instrument, be interesting. As much as interested in others. And people like us are interested in other people. But how interesting are we? And that's the thing that I say at this point in my life, that's what I want to do. I want to enjoy life. I want to have fun. And it's interesting because having fun equates into really interesting stories. And so I think that's what I probably would have added a little bit more being younger when I was younger.
And not just all about work. I know we're
Oh,
all about work.
yeah. And I think the younger generation is knowledgeable about that. And that's a problem in corporate America right now. They're just refusing to do it. And I've seen some of my peers out there talk about it, that the people they're coaching are complaining about it. Like, well, look, you knew when you took this job, it was going to be 80 hours a week. And the students that are graduating said, I'm sorry, I'm not doing it. I'm the brightest that you're going to get. I'm at the best schools and the best grades. I'm not going to work those killer hours. Now what?
Yep, the game's changing. Now you can't find anybody to do those, I won't call them menial jobs, but those jobs that aren't very interesting or brain
Yeah,
inspiring.
mind-numbing hours and just killing themselves. That's how doctors are. That's how a lot of the legal field is. They put you through, it's putting them through, going through a like a Greek, the Greek system and what the hazing days, and they do it for years. And what does that bring? It brings about burnout, bad health, bad relationships. And so I think the younger people do have it better in a certain way. They watch their parents be miserable and get divorced and just work themselves to death. And I just think that they're smarter than we are, having the advantage of they're not going to do that.
Absolutely true. And no one's supposed to stay in the same thing. We live so much longer now. When you and I were kids, when our parents were kids, you might make it to 50. You might
Yeah.
maybe 60. 60 was the old. And then
Yeah.
There's our generation, and now you look at people 60s and 70s. They're working, they're starting new chapters. It's so exciting, and
Yeah.
that's a good thing since, unfortunately, I think a lot of us are going to live to 100. I'm not
Yeah.
excited about that. I'm not. I'm ready for the next lifetime when the expo's
Oh,
done.
that's so funny. I want to
No.
live a long time, but I want to live healthy. And so I'm
That's it.
really into all the all natural health and doing whatever I can from acupuncture to some of the new things that are coming out. There's so much innovation using frequencies and all sorts of stuff that can heal our bodies. And going to the beach is a requirement. So I'm like, that's it. This summer, I'll be there like every weekend. So if you need to call me, that's where I'll be.
It's an exciting world. Really, if you think about it, more possibilities than ever before to do everything. Just what you're talking about, the exploration of all the different opportunities, and money's never been easier to come by than it is right now. There
That's
are
so
millions of dollars and so much currency available. So, last but not least on this subject, what are you most proud of?
Oh, well, you know what I'm most proud of. I'm most proud of my son. Yeah, I have the most amazing family ever. And my son, who was a preemie, he was 2 pounds, 15 ounces when he was born. My water broke at 24 weeks. He could have been dead. He could have been, but everybody prayed and he was a miracle. And just being able to see what a good, fine man, young man he's grown up to be. He's got good morals. He's got wisdom. He's keeping his body in great shape. He likes to cook. He's following the path of being a fireman. And so he's really passionate about being in a tight community. I think it's a good fit for him. He hasn't started yet, but that's what he's doing. So I would say more than anything, I used to be so ambitious, had to do this, had to do that. And now I'm like, life is, can be very short. I just lost a good friend this past week, and life can be short. And I really think that people should try to find their purpose early in life and to be able to express joy and to laugh every single day. So now I really do want to have joy every day and try to bring joy to other people. And so my needs are simple in today's world. I think I'll be coaching forever and helping people like that forever. But I do want to just enjoy myself with the talents that I've been blessed with. So yeah, I'm most proud of the simple things, I would think, including my son, who's awesome.
I feel the same. I feel very much the same. When it gets right down to it, my joy, I love being a mother. That has just been, I hear a lot of kids today, they don't want to have kids. And I think,
Oh
you're
God, if
missing it. It's the
missing.
best.
It is the best. It is the best. I see these people agree. Oh my gosh. We should go on a campaign, Kelly, because that would be interesting because these women are going to wake up when they're 45 years old and they are going to be so sad. They're going to be spending hours on the floor, their face in the ground, crying their eyes out because they missed the opportunity of a lifetime. And so I think we should do some kind of tour on the college campuses or something.
Count me in, because you're right. It's if you pick one thing that changed your life most significantly, becoming a mother. It's the game changer. And
Game
half the
changer.
population has the privilege to do it. Love
Yes.
men, but your 20-minute contribution. We really work to bring that baby in. And it's
Yes.
extraordinary to be able to give life.
It is
It's just
so
an
amazing.
extraordinary, and it's experience that lasts a lifetime if you're lucky. It's the greatest. Okay, back to you, my friend. I want to talk about what's coming up for you, and I think it's really important. I want to talk about your event that's coming up.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much. You're so generous. I'm really excited. We've got a Storycraft Summit coming up on June 7th through the 9th. It's in Orlando. This is an event for high achievers who are ready to go out and to take the world by storm, whether they're creating a movement, whether they want to inspire an audience just in their own company or in their industry, or whether they're launching a book and need to be able to articulate it on in media and also in front of audiences. This will get you ready. So we're writing a motivational speech. You'll be working with myself and Jan Danny Moon, and also your amazing coach here, Kelly O'Hara, who will be there with us, and just very excited to help who is going to come. So traditionally, we've got people that are in C-suite, people that are writing books, have written books, and left brain introverts. But we've also had we've had people that were influencers on TikTok. And so if you want to change your life and you want to change the life of people that follow you, it's a great event to come to. It's a 3-day event. And by the end of it, not only will you be transformed, but you'll have your motivational speech that you can take out to the world to use forever.
Oh, I love that. That the people that come to this actually walk away with something having been implemented. It's completed. They walk out with something totally usable. And at the same time, they've been transformed. They've grown in perspective and possibility. And what more could you ask for?
It's amazing. And there will be experts like yourself that will be there helping people with their personal brand, their thought leadership platform, how to market themselves. We'll have a person taking headshots, thanks to you, that little addition, and potentially the video. And so we are adding some really good, juicy things for everybody. So they walk away feeling very complete that they can launch a speaker career as a side gig or full gig over time, realistically, and have all the resources at their fingertips and support. And so it's a small group. There will only be 12 people. And our expectation is that we're multiplying. We're going to be doing this across the country. But for right now, it's in Orlando. And
love it. So excited about it. And the fact that you're offering so much, and I'm here to help those people find speaking gigs easier, no matter where they are in the process, to be able to find the right stages for them that will really help them get their message out and grow their business. I know that you brought an incredible gift for the audience. Please, I want you to share. It's terrific.
I do. I have something fabulous. All right. Where to find the Storycraft Summit is on marygardner.com. And so that'll take them there on that journey. And we'd like to meet whoever is interested. We do want to make sure that they're going to be a good fit, and what we have to offer is going to satisfy their needs. So we do like to have a conversation with them. So please be in touch with us there. And for everybody who's pursuing public speaking, there are, as Kelly said, many ways to make money in the marketplace. And so I've put together a beautiful giveaway for you. And it is about how to make $15,000 per speech per event, how to make $15,000 plus expenses or more per speech. And so if they go to marygardner.com/15K, they'll get a download, and that will give them several different, I think it's at 9 or 10 different ideas of how to increase their fees, even if they're speaking free on stage. And so I think it's some great tidbits. Don't share it with anyone. Keep it for yourself, but enjoy. You'll find some really good nuggets there.
That's an incredible gift. Just the title alone, if you're not curious about that, I don't get it, because yeah, that is fabulous. In today's market, it's very possible. It's very doable if you have the tricks of the trade and you have your story down, and if you've had Mary Gardner to coach you. Once you go to this summit, you're prepared. You're ready to go. So I got to give you a huge thank you, Mary Gardner, for joining us today and sharing what are invaluable insights into the world of public speaking and coaching. And to learn more about Mary again and the really transformative work that she does, visit her at marygardner.com. Right there, her name, real simple to get to her. You can dive deep into her expertise and take your speaking game to the next level. And you want to come to this signature story summit. Storytelling, it's already been proven that there's nothing that grabs an audience and brings them closer to you than your story. And she knows how to help you develop it. And again, her great gift, how to make 15,000 plus expenses or more per speech. marygardner.com/15K/amazing. Thank you, Mary.
You're welcome. It's such a pleasure. And congratulations to you on all of your amazing success. I look forward to following you so much more, and can't wait to see you in June at the summit.
It's going to be great. Key takeaway from today is the power of storytelling. That's been out there for a little while now, and there's a lot of people in that field, but you are the best. and crafting authentic and compelling narratives, that is, it not only captivates the audience, but it also leaves a lasting impact. People remember your story, and that creates connections that transcend the stage. So that's a wrap for today's episode of the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight. Thank you to our incredible audience for tuning in. If you enjoyed today's episode, please don't forget to share and subscribe. I want to see your comments. Tell me what you think about these incredible guests that we've had on this show, and it truly helps our show grow. And for those of you who are ready to embark on your public speaking journey, but you're unsure where to start, please be sure to check our sponsor out at speakertunity.com. They've got all the resources, tools, and connections you need to launch or to expand your speaking career. And don't miss out on Mary's upcoming Signature Story Summit. You will elevate your storytelling skills and unlock new levels of impact on and off the stage. This is Kelly O'Hara, your host, signing off. Remember, your voice has the power to change the world. So embrace it, amplify it, and watch magic unfold. And as always, I look forward to our next conversation. See you next time. I want to thank you for joining us on this episode of the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight. We hope you enjoyed this deep dive once again into the remarkable stories and insights of our incredible guests. Their experiences and wisdom are not just meant to inspire you, but to provide you with actionable steps to take on your own path to success. Remember, you have a story to tell, and your voice has the power to transform your business and make lasting impact. If you found value in today's episode, be sure to subscribe to the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an empowering conversation. We'd also appreciate it if you could leave us a review and share the show with your friends, colleagues, and your fellow visionaries. Until next time, keep speaking, keep growing, and keep reaching to make your difference. This is Kelly O'Hara, signing off from the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight.